that there are certain specific texts there are actually three main texts which soften the taste really is referring to a desire or inclination like that. So there's the desire to achieve Krishna. A desire to please. Desire to have an affectionate relationship with Krishna. So these three tastes or attitudes, desires, they awaken or they have awakened and they strengthen on the level as one approaches the level of bhava. And as they do so, they soften the heart. Soften the heart on the level of bhava, or which have softened the heart, and in this way one can be understood to have then achieved the level of bhava. So we discussed that bhava is the beginning of prema, but the symptoms are not there always. We discussed that bhava means, the stage of bhava means the stage on which one is experiencing different bhavas, different ecstasies, bhava meaning ecstasy, in one's devotional relationship with Krishna. We talked about the two ways of being elevated to bhava. By devotional service in the association of pure devotees, very advanced devotees like that. Then we talked about the different types of ecstasies. Then we talked about the nine main symptoms of bhava, which were discussed in chapter 18. So that was as far as we got yesterday. But there was a little bit more. There's a little bit more which we didn't discuss from chapter 18. And that is about a rather interesting subject. That is that how sometimes certain symptoms, at least, of bhava, certain symptoms would indicate more Anyway, certain symptoms, emotional symptoms, sometimes symptoms like apparent extreme humility, apparent extreme attachment to chanting the holy names. Anyway, the idea is that certain symptoms of bhava actually seem to manifest in a person who's not even a devotee, really. They may actually be a materialist. They may be an impersonalist. These are the two categories which are discussed in chapter 18. Then, of course, we should also understand that if apparent symptoms of bhava may sometimes manifest in those two types of people who are not really devotees, then there's no doubt that there's a possibility that such symptoms may arise in someone who is a devotee but who's not an advanced devotee. Certainly not a devotee on the level of bhava, but somehow or other some symptoms may manifest. Just to give you an example regarding amongst devotees, people who are devotees but who are fairly obviously not very advanced devotees, certainly not really qualified to be on the level of bhava. Jamuna, Mother Jamuna, I'm sure you've heard of her, very well-known devotee from the early days of ISKCON. She went to London with Mukunda Maharaj, who was her husband at the time, and four other devotees, and they established ISKCON in London. Then at the end of 1969, Prabhupada came and established the deities there, Radha London Ishwara. So Jamuna was head pujari, something of that sort. She was worshipping the deities regularly every day. And one day she wrote to Prabhupada, and she told Srila Prabhupada that sometimes when I look at the deities, and there may be some nice kirtan, some very sweet singing is going on. So sometimes when I look at the deities, then I feel very emotional, and tears come to my eyes. So, what is this? So Srila Prabhupada wrote back, and the letter is in the letters books published by the BBT. Prabhupada's reply is there. And Prabhupada tells her that this is a symptom of bhava. And we know we were talking about the five different types of bhavas. And crying in ecstasy is in one of those five categories. Do any of you remember which category, which one of the five bhavas crying fits into? It's not a vibhava, right? Because that means the cause, which is Krishna or the devotee. It's not an anubhav, because that means like a logical decision to act, to do something for Krishna based on the stimulation, the vibhav. So what else could it be? It's not a sthayi bhav. There's no like rasa with Krishna of crying. So what might it be? A sattvika bhav. That's it. Ashta sattvika bhav. Eight sattvika ecstasies. They're the eight main emotional ecstasies. And then there's also the vyabhichari bhavs, which are also like emotional, but they are more transient, and it's as if they more enhance the sattvika bhavs, and they come and go and change in different ways. But the sattvika bhavas are more constant as emotional ecstasies. So Prabhupada told her, he wrote, that this is a symptom of bhava. Now, Mother Jamuna is a nice devotee, but her career in Krishna consciousness would tend to show that she probably wasn't really on the level of Bhava. But this was more just like a momentary experience due to certain conditions and certain circumstances existing which were very favorable and which evoked a sentiment which then passed. And we may also have had that experience. We also, some, all of us, may sometimes have had that experience of seeing the deity or some type of situation arising, which is very, very nice. And our minds just become completely absorbed in that. And then some responses aroused from within us. So, such a thing happens. It certainly happens sometimes amongst the general devotees. General devotees meaning those who are not very, very advanced and on this highly elevated level of bhava, which is Uttama Adhikari level, like that, as we heard. Being quite aware of what one's eternal relationship with Krishna is. So we may have had this experience, some or all of us. And then, of course, even more extraordinary is, as described there in the 18th chapter, sometimes even materialistic people, they may somehow become very emotional in some Krishna conscious situation, even an impersonalist. So what is this? What does this mean? So that is explained there about probably a couple of pages or so are there in which Srila Prabhupada is discussing what is the nature of this whole phenomenon. And there are also different varieties of it. So let's just have a look at that. Hope you've all got this a bit. Of real bhava or a shadow of real bhava. And in fact there are two types of this bhava or rati abhas. So it may be either or, same thing known in either of two ways. So one type to give you the Sanskrit terms, one is called Pratibimba. And Pratibimba
means reflection. A reflection of the real attachment, or reflection of the emotion, the ecstasy. And chaya, rati abhas or bhava abhas, means a shadow of that ecstasy or attachment. Like this word, where does this word chaya come up in a soul we see every day? Yeah, deha more pada chaya. In a just exclusive retrieval, right? Deha mora padachaya, the shade of your lotus feet. So that's chaya, and pratibimba literally means reflection, like when you look in the mirror.
So, now, to distinguish between these two types, we can only really attribute it to our editors, but it really appears in Nectar of Devotion to be not totally clear and totally distinct, but there are distinctions. So, first of all, on page 140, Pratibimba Rati Abhas, page 40, down, about halfway down. Sometimes it is found, you see that place? It's almost exactly halfway down the page. Sometimes it is found that a person actually attached to material enjoyment or salvation has the good fortune to associate with pure devotees, while they, meaning the pure devotees, are engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord. By the good grace of the Lord, one may also cooperate and join in the chanting. At that time, simply by the association of such pure devotees, the moon-like rays from their hearts reflect on him. And by the influence of the pure devotees, he may show some likeness of attachment caused by inquisitiveness, but this is very flickering. It happened, Giriraj Maharaj was telling me he had the experience with Srila Prabhupada, that Prabhupada would be there sometimes in Bombay, and some life member, some man would come and meet Srila Prabhupada and somehow become very inspired. So the next day he'd be there again. Then he would declare, I'm giving up everything. I'm going to join you. And he'd just be with Prabhupada the whole time, like very deeply absorbed. Sometimes he'd be crying, apparently in ecstasy. So this would go on for a few days, then after a few days he'd be gone. And then you wouldn't see him for some time, and then maybe he'd come for the Sunday program. So somehow or other, some extraordinary emotion was aroused through the association of Srila Prabhupada, even though the person is actually quite materialistic. So this is called reflective. The ecstasy which is there in the heart of someone like Srila Prabhupada reflects into the heart of someone who has very little or even no qualification actually. So it's just by the mercy of that association they pick up a little, and then something is aroused, or at least the reflection is there temporarily, but it tends to be flickering. Then, so this is referring to someone who may even have some ulterior motive. Like that. They're really materialistic, or they may be impersonalists. then shadow attachment is basically described in the next paragraph, page 140. Such shadow attachment or parara attachment can develop if one associates with a pure devotee or visits holy places. Then an ordinary man, so this is, I mean, it's not so apparent here, but referring to the verses in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu becomes a little more clear. That here an ordinary man is being referred to, not someone who's, an impersonalist is not an ordinary man. And someone who's a, who's actually attached to material enjoyment, meaning like a real materialist. So when people like that associate with very elevated devotees, then there may be the reflective attachment. But when an ordinary person just happens to go to a holy place or something like that, then and by good fortune performs some devotional activity, then what is actually a lower level of this bhava rabas may occur, in that there may be some sentiment aroused. So of the two, the reflective bhava abhas is more powerful than the shadow bhava abhas. So, yeah, there's basically like that. So rati, the pratibimba tends to be stronger because it's an actual reflection, whereas the shadow is not as strong. And the idea is that the impersonalist and someone who has some ulterior motive due to being very materialistic, their interest in Krishna consciousness under those circumstances may tend to be stronger than that of an ordinary man who just happens to visit a holy place, who just happens maybe in the way of some ritualistic performance in a holy place, they somehow or other get some sentiment aroused. So I hope that's at least a little clear and not too shadowy. But then the idea is that this may all sound a little technical, but the shadow attachment, even though the reflective attachment may be stronger because the person's interest is greater, even though as an impersonalist they're quite corrupt, and as a real materialist they're also quite corrupt, more corrupt than just an ordinary person, but the shadow attachment is considered qualitatively better. Therefore, it's referred to here as para in the first sentence in that last paragraph on page 140. Para means superior. And then at the bottom of that paragraph, Prabhupada makes the point that even this rati abhas, bhava abhas, this reflection or shadow of real ecstasy, if one continues to associate with pure devotees, it can be transformed and a person can advance and eventually come to the level of real bhava. But as Prabhupada says right at the bottom of page 140, such attachment for Krishna cannot be invoked in a person without his being sufficiently blessed by the association of pure devotees. So there are so many things which are abhas, which can be seen as abhas. There's this bhava abhas, You may have you heard of Bhakta Abhas or Bhakti Abhas? There can be a shadow or reflection of real devotional service. There can be Raganuga Abhas, a shadow or reflection of real Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Bhakta Abhas or Bhakti Abhas, a reflection of a devotee or a reflection of devotional service. So the problem with these things is that Abhas means that some corruption is there. So it's not really the real thing. But in all cases, if one has association of pure devotees, then even these sort of like corrupted versions can be transformed. And one can become nicely situated in pure devotional service. But as we see at the top of page 141, a person may, some sort of ecstasy or some sort of attraction may just arise in their hearts due to association or due to being in a holy place, despite their lack of qualifications otherwise. But there's a great danger that they may fall down, because they're really not very qualified at all. So therefore, it's quite easy for them to commit offenses. So this Rati Abhas or Bhava Abhas, even though it may be encouraged by further association, it can be destroyed by offenses, which is generally why people that this happens momentarily in, not so many of them, like the impersonalists, not many of them continue on to become real devotees. And materialists, oftentimes we see, well, sometimes we see people are very attractive, but then they commit offenses and then they go away. So transcendental, Prabhupada says at the top of page 141, by the association of pure devotees, attachment for Krishna can be aroused. But if one commits offenses at the lotus feet of a devotee, one's shadow attachment or para attachment can be extinguished, even to nil. So We may have had our experiences sometimes of some, like I remember the second time actually I saw Srila Prabhupada at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Prabhupada came in by helicopter. Prabhupada came in by helicopter to Bhaktivedanta Manor, and the devotees were there from all over Europe. There are hundreds of devotees there. And they were having kirtan. It was, you know, the mood was extremely intense spiritually. Very, very intense. And the helicopter came down and the door opened and Srila Prabhupada got out. And, you know, it was just hard to describe, really. But it was really a very profound and very moving experience for all the devotees. And so many of the devotees were crying. So many of the devotees. Also, when Prabhupada came to London for his last visit, unscheduled visit, suddenly we just heard Prabhupada's coming. He's left already. And he came. So when he came, again, so many devotees, hundreds of devotees from all over Europe came. And during the kirtan, well, Prabhupada, of course it's not a matter of Bhava Abhas or Rati Abhas with Srila Prabhupada, but Srila Prabhupada was sitting on his chair and tears were rolling down from his eyes. And so many of the devotees in the kirtan, so many of them, tears were coming, and it was really just, I mean, very astonishing thing to witness or be a part of. So, of course, Srila Prabhupada and Navriti, and trying to work their way through and get firmly situated in Krishna consciousness. So then we would say that this is, it's bhava. It's definitely bhava. But it's like a reflection, or due to some special circumstances, an emotion which would normally not be manifest because of the covering of the material energy. But somehow it's just very strongly stimulated, so it manifests momentarily. And then some minutes later, half an hour later, it's gone. It's quite gone. Whereas on the level of bhava, we were discussing yesterday in the example of Maharaj Ambarish, when due to the special circumstances he fixed his mind on Krishna, then tears came. Sattvika bhava, symptoms came. But then after a while they stopped, but it continued internally. The impression was there, the mood remained in his mind. Therefore, the state of a person on the level of bhava is considered samadhi, internally. So these are some points then about bhava. So today we're going to discuss about prema bhakti, and you wrote your summaries last night, and you would have seen that the discussion on prema bhakti is very short. It's only 4 pages. Bhava bhakti was 10 or 12 pages. Raganuga bhakti, sadhana bhakti, was something like 10 or 12 pages. Vaidhi sadhana bhakti was 60 or 70 or whatever, 100 pages or something of that sort. So here we are at prema bhakti, or the discussion at least. We've made it. But the discussion is practically just a few words. And it's just giving a few very simple glimpses. So why is that? What is the idea? Is it just because it's beyond us? Well, it is. In certain regards, it's certainly beyond us. But actually, the point is that after this chapter 19, of course, we then come to part 2. And then there's part 3 and then part 4. And that makes up the entire Nectar of Devotion. So actually, the thing is that the entire Nectar of Devotion from this point on is simply discussing prema bhakti in its different features. Like we mentioned yesterday, that part 2 from chapter 22, whatever it was, 32 or 36 or something, this is discussing the different, those 5 different bhavas. And the 5th of them is the sthayi bhava, or the permanent bhava, which means the nature of your eternal relationship to Krishna. Shantadasya, Sakya Vatsalya, or Madhurya. So, these bhavas are the ingredients, you could say ingredients, or parts, of prema. So here prema is being introduced, then part 2, we'll discuss the main parts or the main ecstasies which are manifesting sometimes on the level of bhava, but which are fully manifest and in some cases always manifest on the level of prema. And then that sthayi bhav, the permanent ecstasy, in terms of your eternal relationship with Krishna, When that mixes, this may sound a little technical, but when that, your sthayi bhav, we won't, anyway, just, you have a sthayi bhav in one of the five types. When that mixes with the other bhavas, then what is produced by this mixing? What would you say, Mother Radharadna? Or Satyajit Prabhu? What is produced by the mixing of the bhavas, or more specifically, the mixing of your own sthayi bhav, which is fixed and permanent and constantly there, with the other bhavas, which are changing? What is produced is called rasa. Rasa means the taste, the mellow, or mellow taste, which is there in pure devotional service. So what is that produced of? I mean, we're just speaking in simple terms here, in principle. This is produced of the mixing of your sthayi bhav, which is only one, of one type, and which is constantly there, with the other four bhavas, which are not always there, but which are changing. So when they all mix together, what is produced is rasa, or the mellow taste of pure devotional service. So then we find, just to sort of give a little further overview of the rest of Nectar of Devotion, you then go on to part three. If you turn to the table of contents, right at the beginning, so there we have part one. We've almost finished. Part two, we referred to yesterday, the five bhavas, and when they mix, then you come to part three, which is like an in-depth analysis of the five rasas, the five different types of mellows which are produced when the five different types of bhavas mix. So part three then is discussing shanta ras, not just the shanta sthayi bhav, but the ras in shanta. And then dasya, as you can see. And then fraternal, friendly devotion. Then parenthood. Then conjugal love. Then part four, if you turn over the page. What is part four? Part four is a discussion of the indirect rasas. You know, there are five direct rasas: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. And there are seven indirect rasas. We introduced the idea when we were talking about Krishna appearing at the wrestling arena. You remember that? So these then are the seven indirect rasas: laughing, astonishment, chivalry, compassion, anger, dread, ghastliness. Then they all mix. So this is now very astonishing. They mix in different ways. And then what is the very last thing? Sometimes they may mix in the wrong way. And that is called ras abhas. Bhakta abhas, bhaktin abhas, I guess. Bhakti abhas, raganuga abhas, bhava abhas, and you may even get ras abhas. So even on high levels, mistakes can occur. But that is the final concern of Srila Rupa Goswami in presenting Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. After presenting everything up to Madhurya Ras, including when it's mixed with the indirect rasas, then a warning: watch out for ras abhas. And that's the end of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, except that then Srila Rupa Goswami wrote another book called Ujjvala Nilamani, which is then discussing basically the intricacies of devotional service in Vrindavan. So it's the same idea, analyzing, but analyzing that level, which is even beyond really what's discussed in this book. So we are not going to the end of Nectar of Devotion, chapter 51. We are stopping at chapter 19, and we're already out of our depth, more or less. But we will at least give some basic description here in terms of how Srila Rupa Goswami has presented it. As a matter of interest, how many of you are going to this Food for Life program? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 or so. Okay. So what we'll do, if you don't mind, we'll just carry on till 11:30. Is that all right? Can you handle it without a break? And we should have finished by then. We may finish earlier because it is very short. But let us now just go into this. So the first point is that prema, in one sense, is not really a different thing from bhava. We already mentioned yesterday that bhava means just a small ray of prema. So essentially, prema means more bhava, or bhava means less prema, something like that. It's just a development of the same stage. But there are certain, like, special, specific symptoms of prema as distinct from bhava. And they appear in the first of these two verses we gave you on the verse sheet from today. When that bhava softens the heart completely, as you remember how bhava, in the state of bhava, one's heart is softened. So in prema, one's heart is softened completely. Then one becomes endowed with a great feeling of possessiveness in relation to the Lord. And then the bhava, when the bhava becomes very much condensed and intensified, then it's no longer called bhava, but it's called prema. So we have some symptoms then. And again, there are two levels, primary and secondary. So the primary characteristic is it's an intensified state of bhava. That is the primary characteristic. Bhava saeva sandratma. Third line of the verse. Bhava, which has become very much condensed and intensified. So this is the primary. And then secondary is two. Completely softens the heart. So what happens when your heart is completely softened? It melts. On the level of bhava, the heart is softened, so it sometimes melts. And therefore, the emotional symptoms will manifest. Unless, of course, like someone like Srila Prabhupada is acting as an acharya, setting an example for neophyte devotees, so he would not externally manifest that. But otherwise, sometimes, like in the case of Maharaja Harish, sometimes his heart would soften, and then the emotional symptoms would manifest. But on the level of prema, the heart is completely softened, so it's always in a state of being melted. And there is a sense of possessiveness.
questions? Towards Krishna. In other words, you could say that on the level of sadhana bhakti, and particularly mind sadhana bhakti, there is the idea that I am Krishna's. I am Krishna's, therefore I'm now practicing devotional service. Because I'm Krishna's, and that's the right thing to do. But now there's a sense that Krishna is mine. And this is a very highly developed sense of possessiveness, which somewhere here, Prabhupada explains that it completely at the bottom of the first paragraph, one's concept of kinship is completely reposed in Krishna. Great authorities like Bhishma have explained that love of Godhead means completely giving up all so-called love for any other person. According to Bhishma, love, or in this case, prema, Krishna prema, means reposing one's affection completely upon one person, withdrawing all affinities from any other person. So this pure love can be transferred to the Supreme Lord under two conditions. So there are two causes for prema. One is bhava, the performance of bhava bhakti. It just develops to prema. And the other is mercy. So those are two symptoms there, and then there are two causes. One is bhava bhakti, the performance of bhava bhakti, and the other is mercy. This is no ordinary mercy. Causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So, anyway, if we don't finish by 11:30, we'll just carry on a bit tomorrow. So then, at the bottom of page 143, going over to page 144, there's a brief discussion about prema bhakti, which develops from bhava bhakti. And two examples are given. One example from the 11th canto, and one example from the Padma Purana. So what are the differences, or what is the difference between these two examples? Mother Chandra Purana.
One is by
that's the right answer. Yeah. The first one from the 11th canto is an example of someone coming to prema bhakti from bhava bhakti, but on the basis of vaidhi, on the basis of rules and regulations. And the second example of the dancer from Padma Purana is someone coming from bhava bhakti to prema bhakti through raganuga sadhana, wanting to dance for Krishna like the inhabitants, the girls of Vrindavan, and have Krishna as her husband. Then prema achieved by mercy. First example is very interesting. The gopis. Krishna's explaining. The gopis didn't really do anything. They didn't study the Vedas.
didn't go on pilgrimage, didn't follow regulative principles, didn't do any austerities, but they got his mercy. Then they achieved prema. So now there are two types of prema. This is described on page 145 somewhere. Where does it say? Oh, here it is. In the second paragraph, this spontaneous attraction to Krishna, or prema bhakti in this case, not just Raganuga Sadhana bhakti, but prema bhakti, which is said to be due to the extraordinary mercy of the Lord, comes under two headings.
So we'll give you a couple of technical terms here.
Means glories or opulence like that. And Kevala Prem means pure prema, or in other words, the pure love of God which exists particularly in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada makes an interesting distinction between the two of them. So, you've got the English for these? Yes? Maybe I should just write it there.
So this means prema based on veneration for Krishna or for the Lord. Veneration means respect. Profound veneration for the greatness of the Lord. And this means pure love with no, extraneous consideration.
So one's awe and reverence, the other is spontaneous. So obviously, we just got an example. The example from the 11th canto of Krishna. Krishna speaking to one of the Yogendras, speaking to Narajanini. He's talking about a devotee who came to the level of prema through Vaidhi. Vaidhi sadhana bhakti, leading to bhava. Bhava on the basis of appreciating the glorious position of the Lord. So then developed to prema of the same nature, in a mood of formality and awe and reverence. So that is called mahatmya jnana prema. The one who comes to prema particularly through Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti, or comes to Bhava through Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti, then like the example of this Chandrakanti from the Padma Purana, goes on then to prema. The nature of that prema is pure love, or spontaneous love. Prabhupada makes the distinction in the same
paragraph, the middle of page 145. In the Narada Pancharatra, you see this part? In the Narada Pancharatra, it is said that if on account of profound veneration for the greatness of the Supreme Lord, one attains a great affection and steady love for him, one is certainly assured of attaining the four kinds of Vaishnava liberation. So that's one. That's Mahatya Jnana Prema. Love on the basis of a consciousness and awareness of the Lord's greatness. So we mentioned yesterday Hanuman. Hanuman is in this category. Lakshmi Devi is in this category. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha are in this category. Then, the next paragraph, in the Narada Pancharatra, pure unalloyed devotional service is explained as being without any motive for personal benefit. If a devotee is continuously in love with Lord Krishna and his mind is always fixed upon him, that devotional attitude will prove to be the only means of attracting the attention of the Lord. In other words, a Vaishnava who is incessantly thinking of the form of Lord Krishna is known to be a pure Vaishnava.
And then the next paragraph, Prabhupada makes the point that a person who has achieved mercy, here we're talking about achieving the mercy of the Lord.
Someone who has achieved the mercy of the Lord through following the regulative principles becomes the Mahatmya Jnana Prema Bhakta. And one who has become attracted through spontaneous execution of devotional service is the... And in this way, you got the mercy of the Lord. This is the Kevala Prema. This is only possible by the mercy of the Lord. Then, if you turn over to page 146,
the main point there, seeing we're right. Right at the end of the first part of Nectar of Devotion. So Srila Rupa Goswami is now summarizing, basically giving a summary of everything that's been discussed from chapter 1 up till now. And he's doing it mainly in the form of the second of these two verses which we have given you today. Actually, it's two verses combined. And I think these two verses, you at least the first one, you've probably heard quite often. Ado shuddha tata sadhu sangata bhajana kriya tato narata nivritisya tato nishta ruchistata. So this is going from shraddha through sadhu sangha to bhajana kriya, anatha nivritti, then nishta, then ruchi, then ata saktis, tato bhavas, tata prema budanchati. Sadhakanam ayam premna pradua bhave bhavet krama. This last word, krama, means step, step by step. Step by step, there's a procedure. Ado shraddha. First of all, faith, or Prabhupada says here, a preliminary desire for self-realization. Or faith. Then this will bring one to the stage of associating with devotees, sadhu sangha. In the next stage, one becomes initiated by an elevated spiritual master, bhajana kriya, and under his instruction, the neophyte devotee begins the process of devotional service, or this is bhajana kriya. By execution of devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, one becomes free from all material attachment, anatha nivritti. One attains steadiness in self-realization, nishta, and acquires a taste for hearing about the absolute personality of Godhead Shri Krishna, ruchi. This taste leads one further forward to attachment for Krishna consciousness, asakti, which is matured in bhava or the preliminary stage of transcendental love of God. Real love of God is called prema, the highest perfectional stage of life. So this is the gradual progression. Then the point is made in the next paragraph, the second paragraph on page 1.